For example, I was training at the gym the other day and someone came up to me and said, well, aren't you the guy from the podcast? I'm like,
no way.
I'm like, what? Which podcast? And like, yeah, Planet Powerlifting. And I was like, oh, I'm meeting one of my listeners in person? Wow. That's the coolest thing I think that can happen. I'm here if you so choose
to lose. Welcome to Geopats Podcasting, where we talk to podcasters around the globe about their podcast and podcasting in the place where they currently are. This episode is sponsored by Hearshare Productions, where we have podcasting services, free podcast community events, and many global-oriented podcasts. If you'd like to know more about Hearshare Productions and everything we have to offer, please go to stephfuccio.com. That's S-T-E-P-H-F-U-C-C-I-O. Today, I am really excited to have a German podcaster in Germany. He's also in Berlin, where I am still living. And this is a powerlifting podcast that Eric has with his girlfriend, Julia, and it is called Planet Powerlifting. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not know much about powerlifting or weightlifting in general, but we learn quite a bit about that, as well as his own podcast, how they set it up, different aspects of creating a podcast in Germany, as well as German characteristics of podcasts. And I don't want to give too much away, but trust me, you're going to want to stick around for this one. There are some interesting things that exist, I'm pretty sure, just in podcasts in Germany that I think would surprise you. And I've got some samples of the things that he shares with us in the show notes for you if you want to dig into those. Without further ado, let's talk to Eric from Planet Powerlifting Podcast. Your body blues. Thank you so much, Eric, for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Hey.
I have had Germans on the show, but I haven't had somebody from Berlin in Berlin on the show. So you are a first of that sort.
I'm also a true Berliner. I was born here, so.
Excellent. So let's go ahead and tell the listeners what your podcast is and a little bit about it.
Yeah, so my podcast is called Planet Powerlifting, and anyone who knows powerlifting knows exactly what this podcast will be about. It's a sport. I always say it's comparable to weightlifting, but cooler. So it's not Olympic weightlifting. We have one more discipline, one more exercise in competition, and we're trying to make powerlifting accessible to a lot of people that don't know powerlifting, that get started with powerlifting, and also trying to build up the whole community in Germany.
So what is the biggest difference between regular weightlifting and powerlifting?
Oh, there's a lot of differences. Let's start with what they have in common. So they both involves a barbell and weights, but Olympic weightlifting is clean and jerk and snatch. That's the two exercises you have to do in competition. And powerlifting is squat, bench press, and deadlift. So this completely different exercises. I would say weightlifting is a little bit more technical, has a little bit more finesse, maybe a little bit more explosiveness. And powerlifting is a little bit more strength, like maximum strength.
Gotcha. And for more info, folks, you're just going to have to listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do need to warn folks because a lot of our audience are English speakers that don't necessarily have German at their disposal. However, you did tell me that there is an English language episode, and it's episode 9. So y'all can listen no matter which language you have. So, okay, your quick tech setup, which I'm glad we're doing first because I'm staring at your microphone and I cannot figure out what that is. What kind of mic is that?
Oh, this is an SM57, actually. I think why you're not recognizing this microphone is because I put a foam thingy, like a windscreen, on it. That's actually not supposed to be on the SM57. But on YouTube, I saw a tutorial that said this makes the SM57 sound like an SM7B. So this is why I bought this.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's true. I've recorded with an SM7B already, and I think there's a difference still, but hey.
Well, you sound super crisp and good, so I'd say whatever you're doing, it's working. What do you record? What software do you use?
Yeah, I actually don't use a software right now. I'm using a mobile recorder, the Zoom H6.
Ah, okay. What other tech stuff do you use to make the podcast?
Well, recording-wise, that's about it. So the Zoom H6, I use this because I want to have a multi-track, because we're getting to that later probably, but I always host with my girlfriend the podcast, so she's my co-host, and I want to have clean tracks, so no bleed over from the mics. And it also has a limiter built in, so that's what I'm using software-wise on the recorder, and I mix and cut and edit in Reaper.
Oh, okay, you do use Reaper. That is the next one I'm going to try. I'm still very lazily on Audacity, and I've been threatening to move to Reaper for a while. I think 2020 is the year.
Yeah, actually, I use both sometimes, because there's some things I like in Audacity that are a little bit more complicated in Reaper, or just used to Audacity, and then sometimes I just export the file to Reaper and cut there.
Yeah, like what kind of things do you use?
Yeah, I like the noise removal better in Audacity, and I find it hard to do the same thing that I'm used to in Reaper, but I like cutting and editing better in Reaper.
Why?
There's custom actions, I think they're called, in Reaper. So it makes it like you have a hotkey, for example, Y or whatever you want to have on your keyboard, and you select a region on your track. And when you press that hotkey, it's not only cutting that section, it's also rippling that section. And it also makes it kind of ducks the audio at the end and then fades in the audio at the other end. So it's seamless.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I do that manually in Audacity. I didn't even realize you could do that. There are programs that do that. Oh, man. Yeah. Yep, 2020 is the year. I'm definitely switching. Yeah.
You should. It's once you get used to it, it's a great program to edit.
Let's talk about your co-host. I didn't realize that was your girlfriend. How or why did you decide to start the podcast together?
We started the podcast because we're always talking about powerlifting. She's also a powerlifter, obviously. And we also met through a friend, but actually also through sport. And we always say that we talk about powerlifting, and it's a shame that we don't record it, because there's sometimes so much good information in it and like so many good thoughts in it that we should just record it and make it accessible. And we also want to have a discussion with other people.
And her name is Julia, right?
Right.
So how long have you been doing it for?
Yeah, I think we started in November. I think it was beginning of November. That's when we started, yeah.
Where do you host?
We host on Anchor. And just because it was the first thing that popped up and was free, and we didn't know where it was going at the beginning of the podcast.
Do you think you'll stay on Anchor long term, or are you tempted to switch at some point to a different host?
I thought about switching, but they opened up the platform a little bit, so you don't have that branded intro or outro, whatever it was, anymore. You can pull the RSS feed from it. So yeah, we're going to stay a little while, but the way of interacting with people on Anchor is really poor. So there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true for a lot of hosting platforms. There's a lot of misses in podcasting. We can put stuff out there, but there aren't as many places to interact with the listeners. Are you an Apple or a non-Apple person?
I'm an Android person.
You're an Android person. Yeah, me too. Yeah. But for me, I'm including computers, so I don't just want to say Android or Apple. So yeah, no, me too. And especially with Android phones, there's so many different apps that you can use to listen that it's hard to get things to look the same in all of them, and it's hard to interact with listeners in all of them. What do you use to listen to podcasts?
I mostly use Spotify, to be honest. Because it's also the app that I listen to music on, and I'm already there, and I feel like they've pushed podcasts a lot in the last few years, and a lot of podcasts that I listen to are on there, so yeah, that's the,
right,
that's
right,
the
app. Right. It's extremely popular in Germany, listening to podcasts on Spotify. I'm used to having conversations with people about the different Android apps that we're using, and here everybody asks me when I say I have a podcast, are you on Spotify? I'm like, yes. But why Spotify? I've still got it in my head that it's a music app.
But I also use SoundCloud, and I have several other apps just because some podcasts that I like are not on Spotify.
Okay, so you've been doing the podcast about 6 months. What kind of response have you gotten from your listeners so far?
Real good response and real good feedback, because the powerlifting community in Germany is very tight. It's not that big. It's not like the whole fitness scene or bodybuilding scene where there's like hundreds and thousands of people. Probably there are thousands of powerlifters, but only very few are active also on social media. And especially with episodes where we cover the German national team going to international competitions, we highlight everyone, we kind of talk about their training so far and where they are at in the whole field and their weight classes. And the feedback for those episodes are great because, yeah, they're being talked about for the first time probably because no one else mentions them. And we're giving them a lot of exposure. And also, we recently got a lot of messages that people discover us and they find out about powerlifting and they want to start powerlifting. They didn't know where to begin. And we kind of help them ease into it. That's a great feedback always.
That's really rewarding to hear. So
yeah.
Where are you hearing back from listeners?
Mostly through Instagram. And that's also another spot where we wanted to be in at first, because the first, I think, 10 or 11 episodes we also recorded, well, visually, like with the camera, and we cut small segments of that recording and put them on IGTV. At first, we didn't know that IGTV had this 15-minute maximum upload time. We thought it was an hour. We could just put the whole episode on there, but nah, we had to cut it. And that's where we still get the main feedback from people, because we're also, yeah, you can see us on Instagram.
Right, right. No, Instagram's really powerful, especially that video feature. With the two of you co-hosting, do you split up the different things that need to be done, or do you do everything together? How does the organization of it work?
Yeah, so Julia does the whole planning, because we plan a lot of the episodes beforehand. We're not just going in there and asking questions, just similar to you. We also give a heads up to our guests what they can expect. We also tell them what we will cover, which aspects of their lives, so to speak, or their careers. And she writes down all the questions and the topics that we want to cover, kind of like a storyline. And I'm on the editing part.
Have you had any surprising feedback from your audience yet?
Surprising feedback? So far, it's actually been almost always positive. Just lately, we had a friend of us who's a bodybuilder on the show. And coming from marketing background, I titled the episode Powerlifting versus Bodybuilding, or Bodybuilding versus Powerlifting. And someone said, well, if you say versus, it's always, it's already like a fight and we want to coexist. And it was like, yeah, but you know, people should click on it to learn that it's, that they actually have more in common than you would think. And someone who wants to kind of have a fight between those two things, won't click on, yeah, that's the same thing between bodybuilding and powerlifting. Don't fight. Yeah.
So the world of powerlifting, is it split between men and women, or is it skewed in one direction?
I think for quite some time it was very, very, a very male sport. But in the last few years, also with the rise of social media, I think it's almost equal now. There's almost 50-50, yeah.
That's amazing. And do you find that 50-50 split is true in your listeners as well?
I actually know that we have a 60% male and about 40% female.
That's really close, though. Yeah. I played with Anchor at the beginning. I hopped around on a lot of different hosts like SoundCloud and Anchor and whatnot, but I haven't been back for ages. What kind of stats do they give you? Like, what do you know about your audience just from their platform?
I know they give you region. We have listeners from Malaysia. I don't know how that's happening. Probably just clicked on it. You know, the age group. So they have like 24 to whatever, 30. And also gender. But they don't give you playtime. So that's one thing I'd like to know. And they give you total plays per week, but not that much. So I would like to have, like they have in YouTube, the view through time, or like hear through time.
Right. Have you gone to Apple Analytics? Like you go through, yeah, you're registered with iTunes because you're on my Android app, so you must be. So Apple Connect does have some stats like that. I forget at what point, because you have to be in there a certain amount of episodes or a certain amount of hours or things for it to show up. But they do have some of that information in there, like how long people are listening and things like that.
Yeah, I checked that last time I checked, wasn't there. But we also have, I think it was 70% or 65% listeners on Spotify, actually.
Wow.
And I think 25% on iTunes. So there's not a lot of people listening to it on iTunes.
I have a language question. The name of the podcast is in English, but the vast majority of the episodes are in German. Why was that decision made?
The German word for powerlifting is Kraftdreikampf, which is still used. But I feel like, especially in the younger generation or the upcoming generation, people are talking about powerlifting rather than Kraftdreikampf. So we wanted to have powerlifting in there. And then we didn't want to mix German and English. Also, planned powerlifting, I think you can say that quite well. So it's not, and it's not too long, so that's how the name came about.
Do you plan to do any more episodes in English, or does it just depend on what the people you want to talk to are, what their language is?
Yeah, so we're definitely planning more episodes in English, because our initial plan was also to go to other countries, because we know a lot of like famous celebrity powerlifters in the US, also in Eastern Europe, in New Zealand, Australia. And we wanted to do like a world tour, go visit them, because we also only wanted to do in-person podcasts. So we invited everyone here, or we just went to the gym or to the location. But now that's a little bit harder than it was a few months ago. So we kind of switched to remote for now, but we definitely want to go to other countries and interview people also in English then, yeah.
Do you listen to other podcasts on powerlifting?
Yeah. I think the first podcast that was very popular about powerlifting and strength sport in general was, gosh, I forgot the name right now. Kraftraum? I don't know. It was someone who started 2 years ago, and he was probably one of the first ones that started a podcast on that topic in Germany. And he had a lot of people on the podcast already. He also has a professional setup, so it's not just, you know, like talking to your laptop. This is one I sometimes listen to. Then we have, in Germany, we have a kind of a startup-ish company that takes photos of powerlifters during competition, dedicated sports. And they also have a podcast. That's one I listen to. And there are a few others that are more interview stylish. For example, one was started by a very, well, in Germany, very famous Instagram powerlifter girl, and she focuses on female powerlifters or female athletes. And that's also very interesting, because she goes into another direction that you would expect with like a regular interview podcast.
How so?
She doesn't necessarily ask, okay, how did she get into powerlifting? She also asks that, but she focuses on, for example, problems that female powerlifters encounter in powerlifting, for example, in this male-dominated sport. Just problems that you would have in competition as a woman.
Have you and Julia interviewed each other yet on the podcast?
Kind of, but not really. We talked about nutritional past, because we tried a lot of diets and diet plans, but not really in the sense that we would ask several different questions and then answer straight away and go to the next question. It was more like a dialogue.
What podcasting communities are you in Berlin?
Ooh, none. Yeah, I actually don't know if there are a lot of podcasting communities around here, or if they are open to every topic. I know that some non-powerlifting podcasts are recorded here, also some big ones on business and marketing and all kinds of tech information. But I'm not sure if there's actually like a large group or community of podcasters here. Do you know any?
Mm-hmm. There's a big yearly event that happens that I'm not remembering the name of right now. Ooh, and it's out in the middle of nowhere in the woods or something. Oh man.
Podcasting in the woods sounds interesting.
It does, doesn't it? I don't know if they actually create any podcasts out there, but it's all podcasters talking about podcasting. And I have seen actual equipment in the in their pictures, but I haven't been there. I was going to go this year, but again, yeah, 2020 is making it hard to do anything live, which I'm sure you know. Yeah. You're aware. Podstock. That's the event. Podstock. Podstock is the event. I think it's only 2 or 3 years old or something. I know of, but I haven't done a lot with any of the community yet. But it sounds like you're staying in the topic community much more than the podcasting community and getting in touch with those folks. You had a pretty big powerlifting community before you started the podcast, right?
Yeah, so I started training on weights 15 years ago and started powerlifting like 7 years ago, I think. So I already knew a lot of people that were powerlifting, and that also helped with spreading the podcast, you know, because obviously I could just tell all the people that I know that I now have a podcast, and that just kickstarted the podcast a little bit more.
Did you find it very easy to find information on how to start the podcast?
I found it hard to find out about how to distribute the podcast. Maybe that was also one of the reasons why I started with Anchor, because Anchor makes it really easy. They pre-select platforms for you and then you're there. I don't think they push you into iTunes. I think you have to do that manually, but I'm not sure. Other than that, I knew a lot of things about audio and editing, because I also edit and mix stuff for my band and also do that sometimes with video, and I did voiceover work also before. So I knew a little bit about that. But the distribution side and the podcasting, finalizing stuff, so putting description in and all that, that was something I had to learn about. And I think there needs to be more clear information on that.
There does. So how did you end up finding the information? Like, were there any resources that really helped you do that?
I think it was mainly on YouTube. I couldn't name any particular channel that I watched, but I just searched on how to start a podcast, and then people talked about which microphones to use for a podcast. Yeah, and then just, I think Anchor on their page, they listed their features and they said, yeah, we're just going to take over everything for you and we're going to handle all the distribution things. So I was like, okay, let's go. It's free.
Yeah, yeah. When a new episode comes out, how much promotion do you do with that?
Well, we did a lot of promotion through all the Instagram videos that we did. So when we were still filming the podcast, we would do, I think, 2 15-minute posts on IGTV per week, and also stories, and obviously the guest that was there, we would tag her or him in the stories, so we would get larger exposure. Now I try to do the same thing with posts, but create this waveform effect in After Effects and then post on Instagram, but it's not the same. Like, I like video coverage better than just a static image with waveforms going up and down.
Some podcasting hosts have the ability to put kind of, some people call them like those fake videos where it's just the logo of the podcast and then the audio onto YouTube automatically. Does Anchor have that ability?
I don't think you can push this automatically on YouTube. We did upload one episode to YouTube and I wanted a fancy audio waveform effect, and it took, I think, 4 hours to render, or like, yeah.
Whoa.
And I stopped doing that because I don't know. It's just too much time not being able to use my PC, and I don't want to do it when I leave home.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, that's a That is a lot of time. Yeah, my host does that, and it's so automatic now that it's set up that I forget that it's there and I forget to go check it and things. So it probably is better to have an actual, like if you're recording the interview itself, to put that on YouTube if possible. But I don't know. There's something about the static video that's, yeah. I think the Instagram ones that you're doing 10 to 15 minutes, those are probably much more powerful on reaching people. What things do you want to do with the podcast that you haven't done yet?
Yeah, so one thing is definitely going abroad and visiting all our idols. And other than that, we want to make it a little bit bigger. So we want to have more guests and like more like popular guests and possibly do more episodes. But right now we stick to a 2-week schedule. So every other week, yeah. But I don't know how that's going to be possible because time, obviously.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot about in-person podcasting that's on hold for us right now. What would you say is the biggest difference between Planet Powerlifting and other powerlifting podcasts?
I'd like to think that we also go in different directions than many other podcasts, because even in Germany, we had some people on the podcast who were on other podcasts as well before that. And I always listened to those podcasts before, and I want to stay away from asking the same questions in my podcast, because I feel like, for example, we had one very famous girl on the podcast 2 episodes or 3 episodes ago, and just 2 weeks before there was another podcast released with her on the show, and I didn't want to cover any of those questions. We also don't want to have the guest introduce her or himself in the beginning. We want to do it organically throughout the show, by asking like different questions and then explore where they want to go, and they have the chance to present themselves very organically.
That makes me think of show notes, because I'm thinking I tend to do that a lot too. I want to go in different directions. I don't want them to just come on and say the same thing over and over, because I think that's boring for everybody, the listener, the guest, because it's already out there. The information that you find out about the guest before you interview them, do you put that in the show notes so people can look at all the other stuff that's out there?
Yeah, so we do an intro of podcasts. So very often, if not always, we do it right before we release the podcast. So I edit and cut the episode, and then one day before we release, we're actually recording the intro and then giving all the information about the guests in a very short format in audio form, and then also put all the information, as you said, in the show notes. Also, if they have an Instagram profile or a website or any other information or links where they can where our listeners can find out more about the guest, we always put that in the show notes. Yeah.
And Planet Powerlifting does have a website, right? Who's in charge of updating that?
That's me.
It's you. Oh, because you've got the podcast, which involves the research and the interviewing, the editing. Then you've got the Instagram videos and the website. And that's a lot. How do you keep up with all of this?
I don't know. That's a question I get asked a lot because there's so many things I do. But yeah, it's just fun for me to do it. So building the website, it's obviously, still... Some things need to be a little bit polished and stuff. Well, we also try to release some useful articles there and then kind of connect that with podcasts that we do. And obviously we wanted a place to have our podcasts and have another chance for people to discover the podcasts.
So what would be the ultimate goal for the podcast? Like if something happened and if this thing happened and you would say, we've done it. We're there.
I don't know if there's actually such a thing, because we're not really working towards one specific goal. And we think, oh, that's it. We just want to make it bigger. And for me, actually, the success of the podcast is when someone messages me and says, okay, I discovered your podcast. I thought about started powerlifting. I had no clue about it. And your podcast inspired me to start powerlifting. Or for example, I was training at the gym the other day and someone came up to me and said, well, aren't you the guy from the podcast? I'm like,
no way.
I'm like, what? which podcast? And like, yeah, Planet Powerlifting. And I was like, oh, you are listening. I'm meeting one of my listeners in person. Wow.
Oh my goodness. You're pod famous.
That's the coolest thing I think that can happen. I think that's the ultimate goal.
So those listeners that find you and you help them get started in powerlifting, have you been able to interview any of them a little bit later on once they're deeper into it and have gotten some of their goals met?
Not yet, but actually that's a good idea and we should do that. We should get some on the show. Yeah.
So are most of your guests then very experienced powerlifters?
Yeah, very experienced powerlifters. I think when we had the episode about, I think it was the European Championships in February or something, we had one of our friends who just, well, he's 19, I think. He started powerlifting 2 years ago, 1 year ago. Yeah, we had him on the show, so he's not that experienced, but all the others are quite experienced, also quite strong powerlifters.
What kind of podcasts do you think are most popular in Germany?
I think we actually have a big variety of podcasts because I'm not only listening to powerlifting podcasts. Obviously, there in that field, I think interview podcasts are the most popular. And there are some educational podcasts in that field as well, especially regarding like nutrition or training science. We have several podcasts, very, I shouldn't say technical, but the editing style is, it's called digital compact. Like it's a very compressed style of editing. So they cut away any pauses, any ums, any breaths. And it's really like a very, it's, I think it's meant for people who are listening to it on their commute and they only have 30 minutes or 20 minutes. And then they want to get through that episode.
But you're saying these people make the podcast already at that compressed speed. Does it sound weird?
When you start listening to that podcast, it sounds a little bit weird. When you're coming from podcasts that have a lot of space in between, a lot of thinking in between. I mean, that thinking is not always bad. Like pauses are not always bad because that also can be like in, can emphasize a thought, you know, if you leave a pause in between. But if you start listening to the podcast, it will sound weird. Because people are literally not breathing on that podcast.
What? Okay. If I want to find one of these podcasts, what search term did I think you said it yeah. already. What search term would
it's
I use?
It's digital compact. It's digital and compact, but with K instead of C.
Okay. So digital compact.
KT.
KT. Yeah. Oh, so two Ks yeah. in compact. I want to listen to one. I don't care if I can't understand it. I'm very curious how it sounds to the ear.
You get used to it. And it's actually, I heard someone say they can't listen to any other podcasts anymore because they're expecting the information to come that fast and they can't stand the pauses anymore.
That's amazing what a pause can do. So, okay, people aren't commuting as much right now ever since the lockdown started. I mean, I guess officially a lot of the lockdown is off, but I think people are still working at home a lot, right?
I think so. A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. So do you know, like, have you heard people talking about listening for podcasts in Germany going down during this time period?
I didn't hear about it, but I also don't think they went down because a lot of people, I think, were actually discovering podcasts because they wanted to have something they could listen to while they were working at home because it was also such a different environment. And they were alone. Usually they were in the office and people were constantly, you know, talking to them or coming into the room and distracting them. So I think this could also have been a time where they actually discovered podcasts.
How much of your day do you listen to podcasts? Is it like a daily thing or once in a while?
It's definitely a daily thing. I am now again also commuting to work. So I'm going back into the office every other week. So I'm listening to a podcast then. Also, every time I use public transport, I almost never listen to music anymore. I always listen to podcasts because there's so many things that I'm interested in and I feel like podcasts are such a great resource to learn things and to discover new areas of things that you're interested in without having to read a book, watch video, yeah.
I find myself needing to force myself back onto YouTube to search for music because I'll just go too long. And I love music, but I will listen to so many podcasts and audiobooks that I'll be like, wait, I haven't actually listened to music for days. What's happening right now? And wait, you're a musician.
Yeah.
And you're listening to more podcasts than music. Blasphemy.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell my band that I do that.
I won't tell them at all. If somebody in Berlin were starting a new podcast, what is one piece of advice you would give them to make it less difficult of a process?
I think it's the same as with everything else that you want to start, but you never start because you actually overthink it. Because when we started, we brought our dining table into this room here. We had a potted plant and we put a very cheap 10 euro lav mic, clipped it onto that pot, and we actually talked into that mic, but not really because it was so far away. But we did it. And the editing was not the same as it is now. There were a lot of uhs and spaces in there, so it was a little bit of editing, but not that much. I would say just do it, just try it. Your first episode is not going to be your best episode, but I also think that you, as the producer of a podcast, you are more critical of your own work than your listeners. So I think content is still more important than the actual production to a certain point. Also, if you buy a lot of equipment at first, then you're overwhelmed with that equipment. You don't know really how to use it. It's better to just put a mic somewhere, plug it in, and talk.
So on this podcast, we do talk to podcasters all over the world to get an idea of the projects they're doing and how podcasting is a little different where they are. What questions should I ask other podcasters in different countries about what they're doing?
I just listened to an episode where you interviewed, I don't know where he was from, but it was an Asian country. And I haven't heard a lot of Asian podcasters yet.
Was that the most recent one with Norm from Pod Lovers Asia?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that was the one.
He's in Malaysia. Yeah.
Yeah, Malaysia. Maybe he's the 1% of Malaysian listeners that we have.
Could be.
Now, I would ask them how their podcasting environment is and how difficult it is for them to start a podcast. Because in Germany, we already have like a podcasting scene, or people are used to podcasts. So it wasn't that hard for our podcast maybe to get accepted or get discovered. But I don't know how far other countries are in terms of podcasting audience.
Mm-hmm. So it's about how they get discovered once they make the podcast, like how they get it out there. Yep. And into people's ears. Okay. It's different for people to know you have a podcast than to get people to listen to the podcast, which sounds like a weird thing, but they are two different things.
They are. And also, if you know people and you constantly post and promote, there are still some people that you feel are very close to you that are surprised that you have a podcast, even if your podcast is live for 8 months.
So yeah, there is. That's a really good point. There's a very, very big difference between knowing that you're podcasting and listening to the podcast.
Yeah. And I also wouldn't pay that much attention to how many people in that relation listen to your podcast, or how many, like, obviously you want to have a lot of listeners, but I feel like podcasting is very different from, for example, YouTube or other media where you can have a lot of followers and a lot of likes or whatever. But I think in podcasting, if you have a solid number of listeners, but they are very loyal listeners, so to speak, and they come back and there you have like a very tight community, I think that's much more worth than having a lot of listeners. But yeah, they come and go.
Like on the monetization side, that's what a lot of people are saying, that like the radio model for advertising and doesn't really transfer over to podcasts, because podcast listeners are much more loyal. So you can have that smaller group of people and they're more likely, assuming that the product matches what they're talking about on the podcast, they're much more likely to do or buy or consume that thing. Do you monetize the podcast in any way?
No, not yet. Maybe we do in the future. Maybe there are some corporations that We're interested in cooperating with several companies, but we feel that we're not that big yet. We cannot offer as much. Maybe if they want to do it, then we're up for it. But we also do not want to compromise our integrity for it. So we only want to support products that we actually use. So it's a fine line. Yeah.
What would be a good fit for, like, if we were just talking about advertisers or sponsors, what kinds of companies would you want to partner up with?
Well, definitely companies within the sport, or companies surrounding the sport. So there are several supplement companies. So we have to make sure that supplement companies are not selling products that we don't believe in, because in the supplement industry, there's a lot of weird things going on. And I don't know, one product that is a little bit shady can ruin the whole reputation of a company. And we don't want to spill that over to our podcast. Also, equipment companies, equipment that we use and we feel like the quality is there, those would be good fits for sponsors. Yeah, but we definitely don't want to take any company or company that we just take for the money. So that's not in our interest.
Yeah. Let's remind the listeners again where they can find you online.
You can find us online on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, obviously, Planet Powerlifting. Just look for two powerlifters on the thumbnail, on the cover art. You can find us at www.planetpowerlifting.de or .com. Both will link you to the same page. Also on Instagram, planet_powerlifting, because without underscore was taken. Yeah, and we'd like to receive feedback from everyone.
Fantastic. And I do have that information in the show notes, but a lot of people don't read them, so I like to have it audibly too, just in case. Anyway, well, thank you so much, Eric. It's been really, really fun to talk to you about your podcast and podcasting in Germany. And
it was really fun.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time on a Saturday morning, no less. So fantastic. So thank you.
It was great. Thank you for having me.
Yay. Ain't it sad that you've never seen just how beautiful life can be? In fact, if I had to make a call, I'd say you never seen yourself at all. Just a flaw here and a flaw there when you're standing in your underwear. Girl, you don't have to buy anything. Confidence has always been free. Some sweet perfume. That's why I'm here. If you so choose to lose your body blues. Well, you're so hot and you don't even know it. Girl, I love what you got. Gonna teach you to show it. Shackles of the bourgeoisie. And as a working man, I have to propose. You leave the prison of your pretty clothes. That's why I'm here. If you so choose to lose your body blooms. There's no fear, 'cause I'm sincere of heart. I'm just a
Friday blue.